Hello and welcome to Simply Safe Podcast, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast that talks about all things money. I'm Kaizad Adajania. Yesterday, the Gujarat High Court dismissed the petition to set aside the stay order on the e-voting process, which was to have begun today, of Franklin Templeton Mutual Fund. The stay order stands, and the court said that no winding up of the schemes can begin till the semi-forensic audit is made public. Now, what does this mean for the investors? The resolution has surely got delayed, but would the delay benefit investors, or are we losing precious time here? I caught up with Deepak Chhabria, who is the CEO and Director of Axiom Financial Services, to know more. Deepak is one of India's largest independent advisors. He tracks the mutual fund industry very closely and has been familiar with Templeton's situation. So, hi Deepak, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kaizad.
The first question, I wanted to start by drawing your attention, obviously, to the Gujarat High Court order. It said that, you know, unit holders' approval is required before a decision to wind down. And unit holders' approval needs to be taken. Now, Templeton went to the investors after the decision to wind up was taken. Now, you know, this is a legal interpretation issue as well, because there are two regulations within SEBI, as you know, and both talk about how involved unit holders should be at the time of winding up. But, you know, one suggests that unit holders' prior consent is not required, while the other says that it should be taken. Now, keeping the legal interpretations aside, Deepak, for a minute, tell me, you know, what are the larger implications for the industry if the regulations itself are not clear?
So, guys, if you look at it, the very reason that these matters land up in court is because the legal interpretation is not clear.
Okay.
And there are people who make their own interpretations and approach the courts for a solution. There are two segments to that, and there is a one that Templeton has followed. And I'm sure that before taking this kind of an unprecedented decision, Templeton would have gone to their legal counsel. They would have probably kept the regulator informed about their decision, and they would have their compliance people would have ensured that they are following all regulations correctly. Now, of course, this is unprecedented, and it happened during the lockdown when there was a liquidity crisis in the system. So I'm sure that, you know, they would have contemplated all other ways to solve this problem before taking this kind of a decision to wind down the scheme.
Okay.
At the same time, the other party that has gone to Gujarat High Court also would have got its legal counsel to take a look at the regulation and decided that it is worth challenging because unit holders were not consulted. But I think today the bigger problem today is that the retail investors and those investors who would like to have their money in their bank account, they would like to see the repayments happening, are the ones who are at the receiving end. Because as you know that the legal cases in our country can drag on for very long time.
Right.
Okay. Of course, in this case, what will happen is that luckily the accrual will happen in the schemes. The interest will continue to come in and the NAVs will be computed on a daily basis.
Right.
So, you know, and even if you look at last 1 month, the NAV of some of the schemes has gone up and some of the schemes have done quite well.
Okay.
You know, despite all that is happening. But as I said, at the receiving end today is a retail investors and those investors who had invested in products like ultra short and low duration for a particular reason and they require the money today, they are stuck.
Okay.
And, you know, based on the information that is available from Franklin Templeton Asset Management, some of the schemes have turned positive and one of their schemes is positive by almost 7%.
Okay.
As soon as this voting is out of its way, this money could be returned to the investors.
Hmm. But so now we'll have to wait till the final order comes.
So we don't know whether from a high court it will go to Supreme Court or whether it will go back to SEBI. And further it can go to SAT also. We don't know that.
But you know, Deepak, we've spoken about the legal interpretation. You also said that, you know, when Templeton would have wanted to kickstart this process, and you're saying they would have obviously consulted a lot of legal opinion and all that, their legal counsels, they would have also subtly taken SEBI's. They would have kept SEBI in the loop before doing this unprecedented. I mean, we know how the industry works. You can't toe wrong without acknowledging SEBI's presence. I'm sure they would have consulted SEBI also somewhere in the middle, though I'm not sure 100%. I can't say that for 100% sure. But legal interpretation, I'm sure they would have had their legal interpretation. On the other side, you have the petitioners in Ahmedabad who are also contesting, and their legal interpretation is also quite strong that, you know, they should have taken investors' permission, or they should have taken investors' consent also, you know, before deciding to wind up. The presence of the situation in SEBI regulations where there are two contrary or allegedly contrary views is an acknowledgement that, you know, SEBI regulations also should be worded a little simpler, right?
Exactly. So, you know, the regulation should be clear because it has got serious implications going forward. But let me revisit and say that in midst of the crisis, if Franklin Templeton had gone to the unit holders asking them to permit the winding down of the scheme, that time period, so much redemptions would have come that they may not have been able to honor it.
Okay.
They probably had a very short window to take some decision, you know.
Okay.
Because the redemptions were so huge, because some of the schemes had 27% of the assets was a borrowing from the bank.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that kind of a scenario, if you are going to delay it by going to the unit holders for their permission, by then everybody comes to know, huge redemptions would have come in.
Okay. You know, critics have pointed out that, you know, the way Templeton has gone about, you know, going to the investors, educating them about the e-vote, the notice, if you read, okay, it's a bit of a, you know, my way or the highway kind of a situation. Okay, that's what some of the critics say. For example, they say that giving them a choice between Deloitte and, you know, the fund house trustees is, of course, you also said that it's an unprecedented decision. Okay, now on top of it, you're telling investors that there is, you know, there is an option one. If you select option one, yes, then within that, there are another two options. Option one is trustees, and option two is Deloitte. This is something that investors don't understand, and investors may not be able to comprehend the repercussions of this choice.
So, Kajal, you know, I totally agree with you that communication coming from Franklin Templeton has not been very clear, and it should have been a lot simpler. And, you know, yes, the certain language and the wordings does make it, you know, very high-handed, and I'm not going to deny that. I wish they were a little more considerate in term in understanding that the investors are already angry, and you know, they should have been a lot simpler in explaining to them. Now, as far as this options are concerned, again, I'm sure they would have consulted the compliance and the legal team before coming up with this.
Okay.
Now, trustees assisted by asset management company, who in turn has engaged Kotak, because what I have learned is that Kotak Bank has sourced many of the deals for Templeton in the past.
Okay.
You know, so probably they wanted them to be in the picture because the relationships are involved in all these matters.
Okay.
And secondly, getting in a third party as Deloitte. Now, I don't see that trustees on their own can wind down a scheme.
Okay.
Because trustees don't manage the scheme. Trustees engage an asset management company to run the schemes. So how can trustees get involved in winding down the scheme? Trustees will only supervise it and ensure that it is being done in a fair and equitable manner, and the investors are being paid in a timely manner. So the asset management company has to be involved. Or you hand it over to a third party without asset management company being there to wind down. I think that probably may not be in the interest of the unit holders, because over the period, you know, the asset management company knows the rationale on which they have taken these decisions and invested in these papers. And many of these companies where they have invested, they have a ongoing relationship. And if you look at last 2 months, they have received many prepayments also. You know, the very reason that they're able to get a prepayments and they're getting the coupon, there has not been, at least to my knowledge, any default from the 23rd of April till now.
Since the time that they wound up the schemes till now.
They have made an announcement. There have been payments coming in. They are getting prepayments. They are getting maturity. The worst fears that there will be huge defaults and all, so far it has not happened. I don't know what is going to materialize in next 3 months or 6 months, It all depends on how the economy fares and where we land up.
But you mentioned about the need to bring a third party, and you mentioned about the fact that, you know, trustees cannot be in charge of winding up the scheme per se. Okay,
correct.
But you know, the option one talks about the trustees. Option two talks about Deloitte. Okay, and correct. Deloitte, it says that Deloitte will be assisted by the fund house and Kotak. So Kotak. Whichever way you see, option one or option two, the continuing factor are the AMC and Kotak. Okay, but the trustees, correct. People say that, you know, the trustee oversight is required, because when your money is lying in a mutual fund, it lies in a trust. And the trust is
exactly.
to be looked by the board of trustees. So they can be legally accountable and held responsible for whatever is that. They may not be directly managing the funds. But don't you think that the presence exactly. of trustees ought to have been a little bit more emphasized, and trustees, in fact, should have been there in option two as well? Do you think that would have made a difference in sort of make it more simpler?
But they have given a choice to the unit holders. No? Either you go yeah. in for a trustee because trustees are in a fiduciary responsibility. They have to exercise oversight over asset management company, which is managing the funds. I think the other choice was given because there is a certain palpable anger among the unit holders.
I see. Okay.
Based on what the Franklin Templeton has done. You know, so they have to give a choice to the unit holders, and they have brought in Deloitte in the picture.
Why couldn't the trustees have fired the AMC? I know it's a very unorthodox to the core kind of a suggestion. But trustees do have the power to sort of fire an AMC if they feel that the AMC hasn't done well and appoint a new AMC.
This is a very serious matter. And if something like that happens, this means what will happen to the rest of the 70, 80,000 crores that they had with them?
Yeah.
So if trustees lose faith in the asset management company, then the rest of the schemes that asset management company is managing,
okay.
then you would have a run on those schemes, and people will go and withdraw money from those schemes as well.
Okay.
And let me go back and let's look at it. Has there been a single incident where, you know, something was found that the asset management company had not done right? So far, it has not happened.
So far, SEBI, investigation is going on.
Is going forensic on. Is ongoing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Forensic audit by SEBI is going on.
Yeah.
And I think 30 days, I think out of that 10, 15 days must be already over. So let's wait for the report. And, you know, then we can discuss the other matter. But so far, there has been nothing. So on what grounds to fire the asset management company? And also, what has been their communication right from the day one? Their stand has been that there is a crisis because of the liquidity due to lockdown. Correct? They have at no point said that the companies have refused to pay or the our borrowers are not repaying, etc. Nothing. They have said that everything is happening in order. It's just that there was a lockdown. Due to the lockdown, there has been very poor liquidity and we cannot sell the papers.
But they have also taken a lot of credit. I mean, they're hiding behind the lockdown excuse, which is okay in case of a credit risk fund, I can understand. But I mean, come on, you're taking credit risk in even short duration funds, low duration funds, short term bond fund and all of that. And then you're blaming COVID, I'm talking from the fund house.
Kaiser, that is an old problem. And that again goes back to categorization, where categorization is based on the maturity profile of the scheme, not on the risk.
Yeah.
And if you remember, many times in the past, we have discussed and I have mentioned the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, on record, I have said that there is a credit risk in every scheme. There's a credit risk in every scheme. I think nobody ever fathomed that there would be a day when there will be a lockdown and the liquidity will totally dry out and we will not be able to, you know, sell any papers. I don't see that schemes were ever designed to take care of this aspect. Where I think I can fault their decision is that there were enough signals available over last 10, 15 months, 12, 15 months when the liquidity was bad and defaults were happening post Island FS crisis.
Correct.
I think during that period, they should have improved the liquidity profile of their scheme. And what was advantageous to them was that their schemes were few schemes where there were regular inflows even during those crises.
Okay.
Post Island FS, DHFL, if you go back and see, They were regularly getting inflows in some of their schemes. So that was a good time to actually improve the liquidity profile of the scheme. Then probably this situation won't have come.
Okay. Deepak, one thing I wanted to ask you is, and I want to draw your attention to the High Court order which came yesterday, setting aside the plea to vacate the stay order. If you read that order, yes, it says that, the fund house also argued in the courts that investors sort of knew the risks that they were taking when they invested in these funds. Okay, which is true, which is a fact, because offer documents are laid out and investors are supposed to read that. Okay, but isn't it also the case that the risk factors never really spoke about the possibility that that an open-ended scheme might shut down, might be wound up? Okay, which is actually what Templeton has done. So can Templeton really claim that, investors knew what they were getting into?
Well, you see, what is there in the books or what is there in their key information memorandum, or it's all there, written there. But the risk that we all understand and that we educate our investors is that there is a risk of default in case some of the borrower companies does not pay. There is a risk of interest rate movement that can go against you. But no one ever understood that there can be a risk due to liquidity where an asset management company may wind up.
Okay.
So this was never understood. This was never discussed. And this is exactly why I say it is unprecedented. Now, going forward, this is another risk you have to keep it in mind. Going forward, you will have to tell an investor that there was an incident in the past, maybe 5 years, 10 years from now, that a scheme, if it does not find buyers for it, debt papers can wind up.
Okay.
I think the larger implication will be that the fund managers going forward may not take the risk, at least in near future. They all will stay with the safety of public sector or a government papers, so the returns can't be very good.
Okay. And realistically speaking, the investors of these six wound up schemes of Templeton, if the resolution goes ahead the way it has been planned, and if we stick to the redemption timelines that Templeton Mutual Fund has told us, okay, realistically speaking, Deepak, I mean, you track mutual funds very actively. I know you track markets very actively. You are one of those very few advisors who actually go down to each and every nitty-gritty of the portfolio and dissect them. What is the realistic expectation from you? How much money can investors hope to recover if the resolution process starts as has been originally planned? Do you think they should expect a 70% or 80% coming from it in 2010, 20% haircut?
See, I won't go down that road and say there is a haircut, because at the moment there has not been a single instance of default by any of their borrowers. Okay. The only things that I would like to delve into is that how long it may take for a FT AMC to return the money to the investor.
But there have been there have been side pockets before.
There have been, in Templeton, there have been three side pockets. Vodafone 1, Vodafone 2, and Yes Bank.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Vodafone will be very clear in the next 1 month or 1.5 months, the first maturity is available. So we'll come to know about it. The 26,000 crore that we are looking at does not include that Vodafone papers, by the way. It's the main scheme that was available for purchase and the redemptions.
Okay.
So when I'm looking at the papers of those schemes, the one thing which is very clearly visible to me or anybody else is that the maturity is extending right up to 25, and in few odd cases, it is 28, 29. Okay. But if you sit and profile it, you find that 70% of the money can be paid back in 2 to 3 years' time. There are going to be certain covenants in the agreement that they have signed with the companies at the time of subscribing to their NCDs that, there could be certain call option could be there. Or if the companies don't meet certain criteria, then the money has to be repaid. The bigger issue here is the liquidity in the market. Once the liquidity returns, many of these papers can be traded and sold in the market. So I don't see that there is going to be such a huge haircut of 20 or 30% that the investor has to take. This can happen only when they are in a hurry to repay. But if they hold on to the papers, then where is the need to look at haircut? The companies will repay over a period of time. Just have to hold on till the maturity.
Okay.
But I think the pressure can come in if people are in a hurry to get back their money.
Okay.
In that case, they will sell it in the market and the investors may not get. But I don't see that happening. Okay. The very reason that they decided to wind down is because they did, because they felt it is not appropriate to sell these papers in the market where there is only distress, and any distressed sale could have impacted the NAV and the returns for the investors.
Oh.
So that is the reason they went down the road that, you know, we should wind down and wait for the maturity to come in, stop the redemptions and pay back the investors.
Okay.
So I don't see that I would like to, you know, consider any kind of a haircut. Okay. I'm quite hopeful that the investors will get back their money with some return.
Okay.
My understanding of as of today, based on the papers they own, if there are certain defaults going forward, we don't know. Okay. So far, there has been one case which was before the announcement of the winding down. They gave a moratorium to one of the large format retailer.
Okay.
So that is the only case where they've given a moratorium or extension of a 6 month. Other than that, they have not given anybody any kind of extension. And let the payments come in. Let's wait and see.
Okay.
And I think they should be able to pull it if they are given an opportunity to, you know, manage it, and also the economy has to come to their help. You know, the markets have to revive and debt market has to open up, liquidity has to improve.
Okay.
They probably may be able to sell some papers.
Okay. Last question, Deepak. Do you think courts have overreached over here, or do you think it's necessary for the industry and the investors to go through this sort of pain to once and for all reform the way fund houses can wind up the schemes, or, you know, because they are big schemes, big money is involved, so many investors.
So aggrieved party always has a choice to go to the courts.
Okay.
You know, you can't prevent people from doing that. Ideally, they should have first gone to the regulator.
Okay.
Before going to the court, but fine, it is their decision to
go
to the court.
But I think they went to the regulator. That's what the court order says, that they went to the regulator, they complained to the regulator. So they have gone through that part and then they went to the court.
Good.
That's what.
So, okay, we cannot prevent people from going and approaching the courts. That's perfectly all right. I think, any aggrieved party will do that. But I think the issue here is that if people dig in on either side of the fence on legal grounds, then it can take a very long time for any amicable resolution of the matter. Now, investors will have to hang on for such a long period. I don't think that is the right thing to do.
Okay.
The regulator has to look at this regulation and clarify about the winding down of the scheme. See, in the past, what used to happen is that if the scheme assets used to dwindle for whatever reason, AMCs used to merge it with other schemes.
Correct.
Done away with it.
Correct.
Okay.
So now, there was a continuity.
Today, continuity used to be there. You know, you get merged with other scheme, you put a redemption and you're out of it. Many equity schemes and debt schemes have been merged in the past. Now, after recategorization, that option is not there anymore.
Okay.
You cannot merge your credit risk scheme with your any other scheme.
Okay.
You know, there is a clear-cut demarcation now. So I don't think that possibility was there. That is why they took a decision to wind down this scheme.
Okay. Deepak, thank you so much for your valuable insights.
Thanks a lot.
I don't know how long this court thing is going to play up, but we hope that a solution is reached.
I think investors are looking forward to repayments. You know, they'll get this comfort only when they see money coming into their bank account.
Of course. That's all from our side, folks. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions about Templeton or anything related to money, savings and investments, or if you want to just give any feedback, do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, log on to moneycontrol.com.